the social scenario would be freakishly and embarrassingly close to a friend, let alone a stranger. But I welcome all listeners standing. Maybe there are others kneeling. Perhaps you're in church. Maybe you're at a wedding with this book played surreptitiously during the order of service. Whatever position you find yourself in, I hope you are ensconced and comfortable, for we are, can you believe it, already on our second paragraph and well into this little literary journey together. Should you wish to continue, I suggest that you take this opportunity to arm yourself with a cup of tea and a biscuit, or a bucket of cappuccino and a bollard-sized muffin, or a nourishing soup, or, if you're so inclined, just break all the rules and grab yourself a full-on roast. For we've got a book, yes, a whole book to romp through together, and I wouldn't want you going hungry as we begin a romping. I'll stop it, Cheeky, you're making up your own jokes. What I'd most like to say up front and with all the love that I can muster is that you are very welcome indeed, whoever you are, however you've chosen to arrange yourself, and whatever snack you've selected, I clasp you firmly to my writerly bosom. Let there be no confusion about that. You are a much-loved guest in my storybook castle. I applaud you for choosing, and I say this with absolutely no impartiality or objectivity of any kind. Such a marvellous book. Of all the audiobooks on the shelf, just look what you've gone and bought. Give yourself a round of applause, even if you're in public. I dare you. Actually, I tell you what, as this would make me very happy, if you're in public and see someone else listening to this book, why don't you applaud each other? What a lovely moment that would be. I advocate that as much as I advocate adults galloping, or people randomly wandering into an optician to try on the most unflattering and amusing glasses for no reason. It's what I call making your own fun. Because you have to, really, don't you? As let's face it, life does have a tendency to throw up difficulties, depressions, moments of boredom, loneliness or grind. I don't know. Life, eh? Life, eh? It's a phrase I've heard myself and others say over the years many times. It's often just audible, thrown away over a sigh or comes at the end of a laugh. A phrase, or a tick, or jerk, or, and I beg your pardon, ejaculation, reserved for significant moments. Times when you just can't put into words the emotions and happenings of this weird and wonderful journey of existence. I recently said it on holiday with my friend, Nikki, looking out at a sunset over the sea, when she and I realised we'd known each other 10 years to the week. We looked back at what we'd wanted then and all that we had achieved. It was a lovely moment, and I heard myself punctuating the conversation with, "Life, eh?" When my little sister had a daughter, we sat with my newborn niece in our parents' garden, where she and I had often sat as young girls 30 years before. We said together wistfully, "Life, eh?" It says everything without having to say anything, that we all experience moments of joyful or painful reflection, sometimes alone, sometimes sharing laughs and tears with others, that we all know and appreciate that however wonderful and precious life is, it can equally be a terribly confusing and mysterious beast. Life, eh? Those kind of moments, the big ones, the meaty ones, the births, the deaths, the reminiscences, I can handle. Those kinds of moments I enjoy or endure, much as we all do. There's usually a sort of roadmap for them, traditions, procedure. But where I feel alone and unprepared is with the less serious but undeniably discombobulating and embarrassing hiccups, nuances and foibles of just being a person. Let me furnish you with a recent example. Has anyone else, whilst negotiating a slippery prawn in a smart restaurant, catapulted said prawn over their shoulder so it hit their next-door diner in the eye? Now, it is, of course, at times like this that one should remain very serious, stand, go over, perhaps say to the poor lady, "Are you all right? I'm terribly sorry. Could I get you another coffee?" The prawn, by the way, landed in her cappuccino and sank delicately through the foam. And generally make all the right social noises, but in that sort of situation, I get stuck in a helpless state of giggles and can't communicate at all. I couldn't help it. It was the noise of the prawn when it whacked her in the eye, a sort of dull splat. Of course I exploded into giggles and called her a bit of a name, Mrs. Prawn Eye, to be precise, and to her face, which didn't help. Nor did my trying to make her see the funny side by saying, "I wouldn't drink that coffee. It looks a bit fishy." Her stern look would normally have warned me off, but on seeing a prawn whisker on her lash, again, there was nothing to do but laugh. So I changed tack and regrettably, as sometimes happens, embarrassment tipped me into rage directed at the unfortunate waiter.